Putting together a bucket list of wild places or things you want to see can be life-changing. Leanne Henyon did just that, and she tells the story in a new book called Phenomenal.
I'm standing on a mountaintop on the edge of light and dark, life and death. I am flinging myself on the mercy of the universe. I am fully exposed, totally and completely open for whatever is to come. I am part of a pinpoint, perfect, cosmic alignment.
So, Leanne, I want to begin with the story you tell of you standing on the Australian coast, November 2012, with a bunch of eclipse chasers. And I have to say, I didn't even know that was a thing, eclipse chasing.
I actually didn't know it was a thing either. I met an eclipse chaser when I was actually chasing the Northern Lights. He said, well, what else is on your list? And I told him. And one of the phenomena on my list was the coral spawning off the coast of Australia near the Cape York Peninsula. And he said, well, you've got to have an eclipse.
This wasn't just any eclipse. It's a total eclipse of the sun. What is so compelling about a total eclipse of the sun that someone would travel halfway across the world to watch it happen?
What happens in a total eclipse is that you actually are able to see the corona of the sun. It's an extraordinary experience. The corona of the sun seems to bloom out from behind the moon. And really, it's to see the sun for the first time, in a sense, because you are able to look at that corona with your naked eye.
What did it look like?
It truly looks like a blooming, like a white lily blooming out from behind the moon. It moves. It breathes.
It breathes?
It breathes. That's the way that I sort of think of the movement. It's the solar flares. You can see that brilliance blooming out. I mean, it's a visual breath. I don't know. That's just the way that I think of it.
You said this was something on your list. What else was on your list? And what was this list?
Well, in 2007, I visited the overwintering site of the monarch butterfly in central Mexico. So I was on a mountaintop and, you know, there were millions of butterflies swirling and falling all around me. And it was an experience of awe. And I had not even heard of the migration in 2007 until I got this assignment. So I started thinking, what else am I missing? So I started keeping a list and I interesting phenomena that I heard about, points on Earth where just dazzling things were happening. And then I had my first child. And that experience made me question if I would ever leave my house again, much less go chase after, you know, phenomena globally.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So there was a very I didn't sleep for a year. And I mean, truly to the point of almost having like hallucinations. You know, I'm sleep deprived. I don't know if I'm ever going to leave again. But another thing happened, too, is that in pregnancy and giving birth, that is an awe-inspiring experience as well and very visceral. It was a visceral experience where I tend to, as a writer, I tend to live in my head. And all of a sudden, I was living in my body. Mm-hmm. Rather than just my head.
Well, so to a certain extent, you must have felt like the script in our culture tends to have being a mother and being an adventurer as mutually exclusive roles. You know, you're supposed to get your wandering and your adventuring done before you have kids, and then you're supposed to nest and settle down. And, you know, especially during that first year with a newborn, your world gets so small.
So small. Down to a room, really. And actually, the winter after I gave birth to my son, it was one of the snowiest winters on record. And I really was literally in one room of my house. You know, there's a wood stove and it was very small.
And at the same time, I wonder if you had the experience I did that, I mean, giving birth is the hardest thing I have ever done physically. And it changed me. I mean, I've had two children and each time I found a core of strength in myself physically that I had no idea existed. And so you go from that monumental, transformative experience, and suddenly you're shut in a room for a year with a newborn. It's just like you have all this strength and you don't know what to do with it.
Yes, Anne, that is exactly the experience that I had. And so as my son began to grow, you know, he's seeing the world for the first time. And we talk often about childlike wonder, you know, but, you know, I couldn't help but wonder, what about a adult-like wonder? So here I was, I'd had this very transformative experience of giving birth. I was still holding on to this transformative experience of witnessing one of the most magnificent migrations on Earth. And so I had this list, and I thought, well, I'm just going to start doing this. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
But, you know, you could have seen all those things on Nova. I mean, you want to see sharks up close or look into the mouth of an active volcano. It's all on YouTube or DVD these days. That's how most of us see the world's wonders.
Right. But we forget it's not just about seeing. It's about experiencing. And so we often say, I want to see this phenomena. I would love to see an eclipse. I would love to see the monarch migration. But what you miss when you're just watching it on a screen, you miss the sound of those millions of butterfly wings in the air. And it sounds like rain hitting leaves. And you miss the smell of the Serengeti with the wildebeest migration and the way that the dust sort of gets into your nose and your mouth. And maybe this is not something that many people want to experience, but it's extraordinary and it's part of the place. And as you said, with an eclipse, you know, when we see those images, it often goes very tightly onto the actual eclipse. But what you don't see is the shadow of the moon rolling across the landscape. And you can actually watch it roll across. And you miss that breeze that comes when the temperatures drop suddenly. It creates a breeze. And there are so many different things that we miss when we focus so tightly. And I think that awe and wonder are, by nature, they're holistic experiences, because you're taking in almost too much at one time for your rational mind, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
You know, there are a lot of books out there about how to find your calling, your vocation, what it is you want to do, and frankly, listening to you, I think that the answer is physical, maybe.
You know, in terms of emotional research, there's been a lot of research on depression. But we don't often talk about awe and wonder. We don't necessarily, you know, if you were going to intellectually go, you're going to study something. So say I went to the Bioluminescent Bay. I'm a biologist. I'm going to study the organisms in the water. Okay, that's an intellectual pursuit. But if you're going to go to experience awe and wonder, that seems somehow frivolous. Mm-hmm. And I think it says something about what we value. We tend to value maybe the intellectual over the emotional.
Did you ever feel guilty about leaving your son, especially when he was still just a baby, to go off on these wonder pilgrimages?
You know, it is very interesting, because I think a lot of people will look at this journey and think, well, this is self-indulgent. And that's one of the interesting things that I had to wrestle with. And I feel like all my life I was told that women can do anything. And when I became a mother, I felt like that suddenly changed. You know, I've thought about this a lot, and it's interesting. I really think that there seems to be a kind of a, who does she think she is to just go chase an eclipse? When we talk about following a script, that doesn't follow a script. Going to a conference for a week, if you're a new mother and you go to a conference for a week, it doesn't seem that people would sit around and talk about, oh, how awful that she has gone to this professional conference for a week. But if you're going to, you know, swim in a bioluminescent bay in Puerto Rico, it seems somehow self-indulgent. It doesn't follow a script of what you're supposed to be doing, of what's acceptable. And it's interesting, because it actually is my job as a travel writer.
That's your conference.
I'm on a work trip, you know. But I think so that really gets to, you know, what is it that you want to do that you feel like you can't because it's not what you're supposed to do, even though it's what you feel called to do. And I hope that when people read Phenomenal, that's the question that they'll ask themselves.
Leanne, thank you so much for talking today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and this has been a delight.
Same here. Leanne Henyon's new memoir is called Phenomenal, A Hesitant Adventurer's Search for Wonder in the Natural World.